Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, good evening and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. I hope you guys are well. My name is Louis Mendes. This is, of course, the big match preview, where on this week's show we'll be looking back at the Carabao Cup defeat at Newport County on Tuesday evening, and of course ahead to Saturday's trip up to London Road to take on Peterborough United. Joining me so far to have those conversations, her first Charlton Live appearance of the season, Sue Gallop. How are you doing, Sue?
All good, Larry. All good. It's a bit weird us just being us, though. It feels a bit empty down the bottom.
Yeah, well, we were expecting more, to be fair. So we're hoping either Mark or Joe, as a last-minute substitute, might join us later on in the show. But there are loads of people joining us live on YouTube. Good evening to Andrew and to All Hell Let Loose, who appears to be enjoying a curry as he watches. Shiny Phil's joining us as well. Greetings to you and to everyone who is sat there in the YouTube stream. Make sure you get involved with tonight's show. Let us know what you made of the performance over in South Wales on Tuesday evening, and what changes you'd like to see for Saturday's trip down to Peterborough, or anything else you want to have your say on this evening on Charlton Live as well. So, like I say, we're going to look back at that game in a few moments' time. We're going to hear the goals and the post-match thoughts of the Addicts boss, Dean Holden. Later on, we're going to discuss the injury crisis a little bit, because there certainly seems to be one brewing at this moment in time. And as I said, we'll turn our attention to the Posh game. We'll hear from Dean again, his presser today, looking ahead to that game. Hopefully going to be joined by Tim from the Yellow Block pod as well, to tell us a little bit about the Posh, see how they're getting on this season. Dudley Gibbs already in there. Where's your wine, Sue? Sue, obviously known last season for her vats of beverages, which we'll ask her later on in the show. Just before we hear the goals from Newport, Sue, maybe a reality check. I think that the conversation that we've been having on last Thursday, Saturday, is, you know, where the squad is currently. We know there's been some good incomings, but what we do also know is that it's not done yet and it needs to be completed. And I think if anyone wasn't sure about that, then they certainly do know that now after Tuesday, where, you know, a much changed side, in the second half, got their backsides handed to them.
Yeah, I think it's always hard with them cup games, isn't it? Because you kind of look at it and say, right, what's the priority when you have got a squad that maybe isn't where you need it to be. So then, like you're saying, like second half, changed it up. It obviously didn't really work. But I guess it's with those cup games, I'll probably speak for the minority here, but I'm never that bothered about cup games, if I'm honest. I would much rather get knocked out early doors and then, like the old cliche, concentrate on the league. But I think this season is definitely one of those that needs to be the focus. At least top six needs to be the absolute aim. So I'm not fussed. Yeah, it is difficult to get your head around the fact that you've lost to a lower league side. But at the same time, we know what these games can go like. When you're playing a lower league side, they're more up for it because they want to beat the big boys. Well, not that we're big boys, but they want to beat the team that's supposed to be beating them. So they seem a bit more up for it. I think we've always struggled with that whole mentality of playing a team where we should win it. Those players prepare mentally. I know Dean's really hot on the whole mental side of the game, but I think somewhere in the back of your mind as a player, you must be going into it thinking, oh, we're going to win this. And that potentially doesn't then necessarily set you up in the right headspace to play a competitive game against a team that you're apparently better than.
Any misgivings that we were better than Newport in the second half are answered quite resoundingly. I mean, it's a really strange performance. We should welcome Mark Newbury to the show now. Hi, Mark. Good to see you. Your first show of the season as well. How are you?
Hello, mate. Yeah, good. Sorry for being a bit late. Just family duties.
That's all right. I've always said I expect people to put the pod ahead of their families, but for some reason, no one ever listens to me on that. So good to see you. We will talk more about the defeat to Newport in a few moments' time, but I think we should listen back to the goals from Charlton TV. Your commentator was, of course, Terry Smith.
Campbell, a ball or two, Eden in the penalty area on the left-hand side. Ball back across towards Campbell. Gets a shot and then touched in by Carnu. And Charlton have the lead. Daniel Carnu, with Newport looking for offside, has touched it home to give Charlton the lead in his Carabao Cup
Holden
tie.
Sent him scurrying across to the Newport right-hand side, and Hector comes across to deal with it.
Oh, and then McRandall says the ball taken off his toes, and they're in the penalty area, Newport, and they shoot and score. McRandall's caught in possession. Charlton to him, and it's a foul. Referee books Anderson for protesting. And the home side are back on level terms. Was there a foul in there on McGrandles? Charlton made a real meal of trying to get it out.
He's swap sides. Ball into the box is headed away by Ness, only as far as Bonswell. Jinks to his left, looks to try and get a ball back across. He does, and Evans scores.
And the home side take the lead. Charlton didn't deal with it on that right-hand side as the ball dropped to Waite, sent the ball across. The headed clearance went straight to Bonswell, took on Mitchell, recovered him, put the ball back across, straight to Evans, who had no problem drilling it past Eisted. And on 75 minutes, the home side had the lead.
Mitchell.
Oh, Taylor slipped over, and it's Charles Lee into the penalty area. He's got Palmer Holden. And that's 3-1. And has that taken it beyond Charlton? It was just a slip from Taylor as he tried to control the ball into his feet. Hector with the ball out to Ness. He in turn found Mitchell. Ball into Taylor. He just slipped at the wrong moment. Ball into Palmer Holden, an easy job to slot it past Eisted. Yeah, it's a big hill to climb.
There we go then, Terry sounding as despondent as the defending in that second half deserved, really, Mark. It was a really bizarre game down there in South Wales. In the first half, we edged ahead right on the stroke of half-time, and I was saying to someone in the press box, you know, it felt like it was a bit of a nothing game, that we were controlling possession-wise without creating a great deal. Newport barely registered anything in terms of a decent effort on target in the first half. And then second half, and as we saw a lot last season, we just completely shot ourselves in the foot, and all three goals were avoidable from us. So, you know, we know where we needed to improve last season, and there were aspects of the performance on Tuesday that suggest there's still work to be done.
It was... I mean, the best way to describe that second half was probably amateurish. It was silly mistakes. We gift-wrapped them all three goals. The first one, knock it out. Ball was never going to go out. We painted ourselves into a corner. Second one, you know, five people go for the same person, and it just seemed like there was no organisation. It seems to be, I don't know, obviously Hector was skippering, but it just seemed unorganised. And that was really a benchmark of last season, with stupid goals and then looking at each other and thinking, well, who was that? And then it had a look of it, the second half, almost like a pre-season game. And we weren't at it at sort of like 90%, at 80%. And I did think it was strange to a degree with for Gaffer saying he wants a winning mentality and then changes the side so dramatically. I mean, I understand he's got a squad and he's going to have a look at one of the two of these players and say, right, you know, convince me that you're good enough. And, you know, ideally these games are there for that. They're those, this and the Papa John's, whatever it is this season, are those kind of games, and you can look at the players who you've got. But I don't think there's anyone there who painted themselves into his starting 11 if it wasn't for injury. I mean, there's players there who we think should be moved on, but I can't see other teams looking at them thinking, oh, you know what, he's going to improve our side, unless it's a lower league team. And it did seem, it seems strange. And like I say, the same defensive mistakes we made, it's a bit old school to say, look, you know, they can't score if a ball's in row Z. Everyone thinks, you know, oh yeah, play out from the back like Barcelona or Man City or Liverpool. Or we're not that team. We're really not. We should know our level. I don't mind having some clogger of a centre half who puts his nut on the ball and gets as far away from the goal as possible. I mean, I'm not saying this, you know, it should be a kick and chase affair, but since when did all footballers think they were Lionel Messi? It's like everyone's expected now to get the ball and be comfortable. And no, know your strengths. Are you a good defender? Can you stop the other team from scoring? That's the priority. I don't want to see some centre-half thinking, OK, I'm going to go on a 15, 20-metre run and then lay it off nicely. Get rid of it. Give it to your guys who can do that. And unfortunately, this play out from the back, you know, as the third goal, yeah, he slips over. But, you know, lock it up the line and reset. Give yourself the chance to reset the team. And, you know, you're putting pressure on yourselves, which you don't need. And we were punished by a League Two side because they went, you know what? Wow, look at all this space I've got. I mean, the guy for the third goal could have stopped, done his laces, and still had time to pick a corner. And it's just like, why?
Frustrating. It's interesting, actually. So, I mean, Mark sort of touched on the goals specifically that we've conceded there. And that is certainly something I want to drill in. But Jay in the comments has gone for the overarching question, which I think it will be a good discussion point. So let's dive straight into it. He said it's a classic example of believing our own hype. Hopefully the lesson is learned. Now, I mean, I think All Hell Let Loose mentioned on Twitter during the week about how the fan base after Saturday and maybe before it, it was really up. Like, everyone was really feeling that we've got a chance this season, top six. You know, I even said on the pod, you know, transfer business so far is definitely in the right direction. But as I said earlier, so there is still a lot to do, as we saw last night. And is there a case that because we have signed Alfie and we've signed Pan Kamara and all these players who are, you know, legitimately good League One players, have we got carried away with ourselves and forgotten that we do have a soft underbelly at the back? That I mean, we probably need a more experienced couple of defenders to help out, or certainly better organised, because there was experience in that defence, as Mark mentioned, Heck was back there. And we need to not get carried away with where we are just yet, because we've taken the first few steps in the right direction, because there's still a little way to walk down that path.
Yeah, I think, like, obviously, like looking back to Saturday, like Lloyd Jones, I think, had a really decent match, but it was clear that he can't do 90 minutes yet. So I guess that's when you're doing your cup games, that's when you bring your others in to see if they're capable of kind of covering in the case of like people being injured or not being able to do the full 90. So it's difficult to. I mean, yeah, I'll admit I was buzzing after Saturday. I was excited. I felt happy. I think a lot of that was the atmosphere, if I'm honest. I thought it was a decent enough game. But then, yeah, I think exactly what's being said is like it's back to reality, isn't it? On a Tuesday night away in the cup, when you're playing a team that's in a league lower than you, and clearly, I don't know whether they're up for it more or whether there is, like, I think obviously it was touched on about Terry Taylor for that third goal when he slipped, and you sort of query is that just a match fitness thing? Like, is it, he's just not quite up to being right on it because of the fact that he hasn't done a pre-season with us. I don't know how, when these players are obviously coming into our club, how much of a pre-season they've had. So, because we didn't have any new ones right from the off, did we? So I think some of these lads are probably still catching up with the fitness. But yeah, I think Tuesday's obviously now raised some question marks around the strength of that squad and how many more and in what positions we need them. Whereas I think after Saturday, we were all like, oh yeah, we only need a couple more. Well, I was certainly. I think now you probably realistically another four or five.
And I mean, Dean, we'll hear later on, he's talking about obviously players are going to have to go out before they come in, and all hell let loose is saying is McGrandles and DJ. And obviously, DJ not involved on Tuesday. McGrandles, we'll probably look back at some of the goals he's been involved with on Tuesday and felt he could have done a bit better with them as well, Mark. The aspects of that performance as well, because obviously McGrandles is one of the ones who would have come in, and you know, if you're a player in his position coming in, this is your chance to stake a claim. And the concern was that there probably wasn't enough that did that for Dean on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was one of the ones I did raise an eyebrow that he was given a squad number, because I thought he was on the list of about five who we could possibly move on if we had the chance. And like I said, you know, has he painted, covered himself in glory? No. Has he made mistakes? Yes. Is it the be-all and end-all? No. You know, I'd be more upset if we were sitting here talking about a league game where we've lost 3-1. But as I said, you know, where are these players? How are they looking at it? I mean, DJ's another one. I think we've seen the last of him. McGrandles, I can't see him pushing anyone else out of the way. I thought, talking of Taylor, I thought he was a bit of a strange signing. I know you probably covered it last week on the first day back about all the new signings. I thought he was a strange one to join the squad. I didn't see he gave us anything which we didn't have on the bench or potential with the kids. And again, but he hasn't had, like Gav said, he hasn't had a pre-season and he's not really up to speed. But can you use that as an excuse? You know, a player should be ready. They should have a certain level of fitness at this time of the season, even if he hasn't had a pre-season with us. You know, you should be keeping yourself fit and ready. You know, there's one or two there. It's difficult for the kids, but I think it's a good learning experience for them as well to deal with that. How they see how they take it, the Mitchells, the Nesses, because obviously they've played in teams coming through the ranks who have lost, but now it starts to mean that sort of like 10% extra when you do lose. You know, obviously the 600 odd fans who have travelled all the way down there to support, and it's how they bounce back for it more than the McGrandles of this world, because I think he's there to cover injuries. I don't think he's going to be the first name penciled in. You know, it's not sort of like picking on the guy. I just don't think we're the right fit for him. Simple as that. So he can go, and I don't think many people would be going, oh, I wish he'd stayed.
Yeah, well, yeah, again, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out over the next few weeks. So the real JD says most teams do play from the back. It's the way the modern game is when necessary is just common sense. Dudley, though, agrees with Mark saying Rosette when necessary on that one. The only Freeman, and this is probably a fair point, and, you know, we go and win at Peterborough on Saturday and Newport will soon be forgotten. He says we don't need to analyse it too much. We put out a weakened side. We aren't good enough to do that sort of thing. Can just put all the non-starters together. You can't just put all the non-starters together and expect a result. And then obviously on the other side of that is the fact that some of these players will be called upon in league football when we need some rotation in the squad or when there's injuries to fill in. So it is about finding that balance. And like I say, it certainly was an indication of the squad depth that wasn't quite right there. I mean, Lee's pointed out, so in the first half at Newport, we scored the goal. I think Jack Payne had a chance. Second half, after it was 3-1, we hit the post and had a couple of Gomez scrambles that ended up going over the bar. Lee said, we simply don't have enough in the final third, especially with Campbell injured now. We're going to struggle. Surely another striker is a must ASAP, or we'll be giving other clubs a head start. So, yeah, the debate that rages on every sort of August now, which is if we could have all of our transfer dealings done by the first day of the season, which in an ideal world would be the case, then we wouldn't be risking other teams who maybe have acted a bit quicker having three or four games to go ahead and do what they can do. But at the same time, you know, how many sides in our league have finished their transfer business now as well? So I don't know there's that many. Like, even it's a point I come back to. If you look at the team that started for Southampton in the Championship on Friday against Sheffield Wednesday, half of them won't be there by the end of the window. It's a very strange time to be watching games these days, because you're with a squad where there's still quite a lot of potential for turnover, and we've seen with us, we still need it.
Yeah, I think it's been a weird old transfer window just in general. I think there hasn't been any massive movements as far as I've seen in any of the leagues. So I think people are being more cautious now. And I think, I know a couple of people were saying sort of, why are we signing players that are unfit? But I guess potentially last season, you would think that the players that we're getting in are players that Dean had kind of earmarked last season to start to talk to. And as we know, we had to wait for the whole takeover to go through before we could do any of that business, really. I mean, I know it was being said that we could have done some before, but Thomas wasn't going to spend money on something that he knew he was getting rid of. So I think now you look at it, I think we're going to have another one of those sort of mad endings to the transfer window. If I'm honest, I think we're going to probably have to rely on some loans again. Because obviously, it came off brilliantly last season, didn't it, with us having Jez. And maybe we can get another little gem like that. But even with this takeover now, I still don't feel like we're going to be able to compete with some of the other teams in the transfer market in terms of fees or wages. So it's difficult, isn't it, to know where else we can strengthen. Like, we know where we want to strengthen, but it's a buyer's market at the moment, isn't it? Like, everyone's going to be after the same players, and what are we going to offer a player better than teams that are potentially going to be bigger, stronger, more wages, whatever.
Well, that'll be the fascinating part between now and the end of the transfer window is, I guess, for the new ownership, they're sort of going to be trying to prove why they're here, and you know, if they're here to make real gains in terms of players and that sort of thing. We'll find out as the month goes on. Alex saying that players will take time to get up to speed. If we get significant points on the board early, we'll only get stronger. Peterborough will be a proper test, which I agree from. Paul says, we need to learn lessons quickly from the Newport game. We'll be forgotten if we make the playoffs. I felt so sorry for the travelling fans, so listening to that second half was pain enough, especially everyone who drove back on the night like I did, found the M4 closed and the M25 closed, which are basically the only two roads you need to get to Wales. So it did take a while. I was back about 2:30. I saw one person on one of the forums, got back at like 4 in the morning. They got completely lost without sat-nav. Luckily, I was all right on that. Jay saying there's got to be another Jan or Lyle out there who needs a second chance, which is obviously now that's up to Andy Scott to go and find him. Dan, and McGrandall's lost a ball we concede. Also, our finishing needs working, and we had an open goal after Kirk hit the post, but we blaze it over. Players like Kirk, McGrandall's and DJ need to go. And it does seem likely that they'll probably be in the minds of Dean and Andy when they come to the sort of players they might want to move on in order to bring others in. Right, let's have a listen to what Dean had to say after the game with Newport. I caught up with the Addicts boss down there at Rodney Parade. Dean, a very disappointing second half, since you knocked out of the EFL Cup this evening.
Yep. Got ourselves into a good position, didn't we, with the goal just before half-time. Really disappointed. We had them exactly where we wanted them, even up until 60-65. We 1-0 up, complete control, complete dominance, but not enough in the final third to go and take the game away from them. as comfortable as we were, there's, you know, still too many basic errors within the game in terms of giving cheap possession away and allowing the opportunity for the, you know, for a team who wants to sit deep against you and counter attack, and then, you know, very, very direct, obviously. But we dealt with that with ease, really, for most of the time up until that point. And then, obviously, the first goal was a poor one for us to concede completely out of the blue. We lose the ball in a dangerous area outside our box. Second one, we end up in a position, we get a bit of a muddle, and headers dubbed down to the edge of the box, and then we get dragged towards the balls, too many players around the ball, and not marking correctly in the box. Too easy for him to score. And then obviously the third one, obviously one of the boys slips, and, you know, they're in on goal. So, you know, to go from where we were at 1-0 to end up losing the game 3-1 is really disappointing. But as I say, I think there's potentially a mentality issue there as well, where we need to then go and stamp that real authority on the game and go and take the game away from him. We didn't do it, and you get punished.
That was going to be my next question. You spoke about the winning mentality. Obviously, at times last season, the way the side sort of reacted to setbacks wasn't what you were hoping for. Was that disappointing that they couldn't do the same this evening?
Yeah. I mean, having said that, we've then gone in at the post late on and had two open goals that we've missed and could have been easily gone in at 3-3 or whatever, but obviously that's not meant to be. But not even when we went through the adversity of losing the first couple of goals, it was more when we were 1-0 up, we should have. I was looking for us to go and really take the game to them, and, as I say, take the game away from them. But we weren't able to do it.
Yeah. Made 10 changes coming into the game. Obviously, there is still a requirement to get minutes into some of the new players. I mean, did you get that out of this evening at least?
Well, that's obviously going to be levelled at me, and, you know, it's not really the facts are the 10 changes. There's a lot of mitigating circumstances for that. We knew Teo Edden needed to get minutes, not played all pre-season. Terry Taylor the same. We knew they couldn't get through 90, so we knew there'd be two subs to be used out of the five straight away. Panucci Kamara, if he plays anything longer than 50, 55, 60 tonight, then he's not really going to be available for us at the weekend. We came into the game on the back of four enforced changes. So, you know, we had to make a decision on the other lads, thinking, well, we've only really got a sub or two to play with, really, with them three that I've just mentioned getting some minutes. So we needed players then, hopefully, who could go and play the 96. Obviously, we lost Chinny early through injury. We lost Manny Egbo in the warm-up. So, not an ideal night for us.
Yeah, as much as those minutes into legs is a good thing in early rounds of the cup competitions, I guess injuries are a risk as well. And we've seen three this evening. Tyrese as well, walking off in a boot. What can you tell us about the three?
He suffered a kick to his ankle, and he's rolled his ankle. So again, we'll just have to see how that is over the next couple of days. So we've gone from having none at all, really, apart from Miles's one, to picking up a few now. And we'll have to see where we're at come Thursday. Friday, ready for the Peterborough game.
Yeah, what's the deal with Scott Fraser? Because you mentioned on Saturday you've had a few days to assess now. What was his injury?
Yeah, he wasn't available for us tonight. Nathan Asimwe, the same, picked something up, Lloyd Jones. We'll take stock and we'll see where we're at.
I guess the new owners met a few Charlton fans this evening before the game. I imagine there was the conversation with supporters about the transfer window that's going to be very important now, and I guess tonight highlights that.
Yeah, I think so, and we've recruited really well up to now, and obviously we're still going to be active. I think if you look, we've got young Daniel Kanu. Other than that, we've only really got Alfie May available up front, so, you know, obviously to play Alfie tonight would have been a risk. If we'd have lost him, we'd have been really light, wouldn't we? So, listen, I'll take it on my shoulders. We've lost the game 3-1, having been in complete control. We have to bounce back.
Just away from today's, because I know it's something that fans have noticed. In Jamaican media, you've been linked with a striker from over there. I mean, is that the sort of markets you're looking in, sort of looking around the entire globe?
Well, I don't read the media, but I've particularly not seen anything from the Jamaican media, so no, I'm not sure what that's about.
There we go, Charlton Live exclusive there. Dean Holden does not read the Jamaican media. I felt so stupid asking that question, but these things pop up online and fans want answers, so that's sort of why I was smirking whilst asking that. We heard Dean speaking about the injuries as well there, which we will come on to after the break, but our Peterborough correspondent is waiting in the waiting room, so we're going to have an advert break, then we're going to come back and we're going to turn our attention to Saturday's trip up to London Road. Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts, and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured, and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello, fellow addicts. I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, The River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer, It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Thank you to our sponsors there for their support for the upcoming season. As I said, then we shall turn our attention to Saturday's trip up to London Road. Now, don't forget, of course, there is still plenty to talk about in terms of the injury situation, where you'd like to see a strengthen between now and the end of the transfer window as well. So feel free to hang around for that conversation. But let's have a look at Peterborough now. I'm delighted to welcome to the stream Tim from the Yellow Block podcast, who's got brackets posh in his name on screen. I don't know if that's because he's a Peterborough fan or if that's just a self-appraisal. Welcome, Tim. Do you normally wear a monocle at this time? Or?
Good evening. Now, anything other than posh, I would I would probably say posh just in the satirical football sense for this occasion. Yeah.
Excellent stuff. You've got the shell shock look on your face of a man who supports a team that were 4-0 up in a playoff semi-final just a couple of months ago, and yet still found themselves not making the trip to Wembley. I mean, obviously, it was a remarkable end to last season. You have to go again. How are the posh fans feeling ahead of this campaign?
Well, it's weird. I think the vast majority of posh fans had incredibly low expectations going into those playoffs anyway. Excuse me. So it was a great journey. I mean, it was heartbreak at the end, but were we ready to go up? Probably not. This summer's been a strange one, both on and off the pitch, really, for the club. And listening to what you guys were saying earlier, there's a lot of parallels, it seems, between the two fan bases, just in terms of expectations and tempering those expectations. I think that's definitely a case in North Cambridgeshire as well at the moment. It's we've been billed to basically accept mid-table kind of mediocrity really this season, which is unusual for a posh fan because we're always kind of sold the big story that this is our year and, you know, we're going up as champions. So slightly different mindset. Remains to be seen whether or not that will last through the season. A few results one way or the other and it may change, but definitely lower expectations than normal.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously hard to assess a start after one league game, but you went to a Reading side that for all their troubles and travails, seem to be signing players still, and you got a result there. So what did you make of your side in the opening day game?
We weren't great. I mean, you touched on it there. It's well-known issues that Reading are having. They weren't good, if I'm honest. And I know this isn't about Reading, but I do think they're going to struggle based on what we saw in that 90. We were okay. We've lost a lot of experience, and I think that showed. Another okay-ish performance Tuesday night against Swindon. You know, we were able to turn over what we would perceive a weaker team, unlike Charlton. But you know, that's just throwing a bit of shade your way. I mean, it's been okay. It's been uninspiring, I would say, in terms of pre-season and these first couple of games. The biggest benchmark for us kind of comes on Saturday, really. And I've seen a couple of your listeners say the same from your perspective. So I feel like this is a probably wouldn't go as far as to say 6-pointer, but it's absolutely a benchmark for both teams here. I think there will be a happier side at the end of 90 minutes on Saturday, I suspect. I've now cursed it for a 0-0 draw, of course, but I feel like both sides need Saturday to kind of see where they're sitting at the moment.
Yeah, so when I sat down and sort of set up the YouTube page for this week's show, I wrote the title, is this an early season promotion 6-pointer? So that was before we lost 3-1 at Newport County, and that, after I felt a bit silly. But on paper, I mean, you guys are saying you're feeling mid-table. So, I mean, if we go there and win, does it prove anything if you guys turn us over? Does it prove anything at this early stage in the season?
I think it does because, I mean, let's be honest, Charlton are a big team in this pond. Yes, you know, you've kind of lingered around here for a while, but it's Charlton's a big club. So it would be wrong of us to kind of, for us, it's always going to be a tough game. Now, obviously, I can't comment on how Charlton see Peterborough, but I'd like to think that most teams see Peterborough as playoff fodder, potentially, certainly at the right end of the table. So I guess, yeah, for both sides, it is very much a case of a win will really set a little bit of hope in motion. Certainly for you guys, having obviously lost in the Cup, you now go and beat Peterborough on Saturday. Suddenly, that game's forgotten and all looks great. And the same for us. If we convincingly turn over Charlton, well, that's a big team in this league. So suddenly things start to get a little bit of traction. So, yeah, maybe not six-pointer, but certainly it's along that kind of ilk in that it's, you know, not so much result, but certainly performance, I think, certainly for Posh.
Yeah, all hell let loose is asking how the pitch is, obviously, after that frozen pitch debacle last season. Johnson Clark-Harris, I'm assuming you don't expect to keep him, but he's there currently. So is that the case?
I mean, how do you solve a problem like Johnson Clark-Harris? He's a, you know, 2 times Golden Boot winner at this level. And yet, if I'm honest, and I can't speak for the whole fan base, I think most of us are ready for him to move on. He restricts our style of play slightly. I think a lot of the problem at the moment with Johnson Clark-Harris is twofold. One, he's probably too good for League One. So realistically, you're looking at a Championship side. Will a Championship side take him on? Probably not. Certainly not for the money that we want. And I guess that's the second issue is, you know, our chairman will have a figure in mind. And unless somebody meets that figure, there's no way he's going anywhere. I wouldn't be surprised if he's still here come the end of the transfer window. And I also kind of feel like he's sort of stopping anyone else coming in just now. I feel like we need the funds from a sale there before we can bring anyone else in. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he stays at the club. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, and just finally, it's a question I feel like I'm going to ask quite a few of our opposition correspondents over the next few weeks, because it's a question I've been wrangled in with. Do you think League One's a bit weaker this year? And you know, obviously we've lost Plymouth, who's got a lot of points, Ipswich, who are money spending, and sorry to remind you, we lost Sheffield Wednesday at the end of last season as well. Does it feel like an easier division to you? Because to me, I think it does, which gives me more hope than last season.
Yeah, absolutely. And funny enough, we were saying the exact same thing on our season preview just a couple of weeks ago. It's without a doubt a weaker league in terms of the teams and the stature of the teams. But also, it's been a really strange summer for football in general. There's not been a lot, I don't believe, there's not been a lot of ins and outs. There's no real teams making huge moves in any of the leagues, really, and even more so in League One. And you look at the teams that have come down, I don't think they strengthen the league. Obviously, you know, Wigan have got issues, Reading well, we know that they're struggling. And the teams that have come up, I mean, they're okay, but are they going to mount a promotion push? Probably not. So you're looking at the teams that were there before to make a move. So the likes of Charlton, and potentially you throw Peterborough into that mix. And yeah, I think a team will make a run that we maybe don't expect. So, you know, the likes of maybe a Lincoln or a Portsmouth, somebody like that will start to gain traction. And absolutely, I think it's fair to say that both our clubs are in that mix. I just think it's been a bit of a damp squib, let's say, for both, or certainly for Posh this summer. It's been a rather uninspiring few months. So our expectations are low. That might work in our favour, I suppose. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, not to be too reactionary, of course, but whichever team wins on Saturday will begin going to finish in the playoffs. And obviously, whichever team doesn't is more likely to be relegated. Tim, thank you for your time. We'll leave you to your caviar and your top hats, and look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
No worries. Just one very quick question for you. So one of my best friends is a Gillingham fan, who seemed to be a bit of a waking giant in the selfie. Sue's put her head in her hands just here. I have to ask, because he claims to be the biggest and best football league club in Kent, do Charlton fans see themselves as a Kentish team or a London team? This will solve a lot of banter in our group chat.
Yeah, I can tell you it's a South East London team. And if Gillingham want to try and claim to be the biggest team in Kent, I think they've already forgotten the likes of Maidstone and Ramsgate and all those teams. Even, I was going to say Hastings, but Hastings in Sussex, I think, actually, Sue, isn't it? So there we go. Yeah, no, Gillingham always try and pretend we have a rivalry. The only reason there's like we take more fans down there than anything else is because it's quite easy to get to, you know, there is absolutely no rivalry between us and them. So yeah, they can take that title if they want, but I think even Bromley would have a few questions about that. So yeah,
thanks Perfect. For your time, well, you've Tim. Cleared that one up. No worries. Thank you. Cheers, guys.
It's been a pleasure. There we go. That's Tim from the Yellow Block podcast, giving us the Peterborough of US. Interesting to see that it sounds like they feel like they're in a similar position to us. Now, I did say the injury crisis is starting to sort of catch up with us a little bit. We heard some of the questions I had for Dean after Newport. Now, of course, we're a couple of days further down the line. So Terry spoke to Dean during today's press day and asked for a bit of an update on the injury situation.
Pete, we picked up some injuries on Tuesday night and added to the few knocks we got on Saturday as well. How is the squad shaping up? What's the not just the mood of the dressing room, but how are we in shape wise heading into Saturday?
We got through pre-season with really, there's only Miles that picked something up, which was obviously a knock which no one really could have done much about. And in the last couple of games, we've picked up some knocks and niggles, which we're still assessing, and we'll continue to do so right up until kick-off on Saturday. So, how's the mood? Did the players come back in today and get back to work? We get back to work, irrespective of what the result and the performance was on Tuesday or the previous day. We get to work and we focus fully on that day and getting the most from it, and we'll do the same again tomorrow with another really good match prep day, and we go there with high hopes on Saturday.
You mentioned last week that your transfer targets in this what remains of the transfer window hadn't really changed regardless of the injury situation to our strikers, effectively. In light of the niggles and knocks we've got now, is that still the same, or have you got to widen your outlook a little bit?
Well, we've got a plan. We're in the market for good players who we believe would come in and improve us. And sometimes they take a bit longer, as we've seen throughout pre-season, for different reasons. So it's not necessarily we're going to rush and go and get a player to bring in sort of now that we don't believe is the right player for the football club. So no, we won't do that. We're still pushing on with trying to be active and bringing targets in. And as I've said before, equally there'll be players moving on, as is normal at this stage of the season. So my full focus at the moment is on getting the team ready to go and win our second game out of two in the league and continue that good start in terms of the league form.
So yeah, that's Dino sort of addressing the injury situation. Not too much in terms of news there, Mark. Obviously, they went on to talk about transfers, which we can talk about as well. So, I mean, obviously, we already knew about Miles Leeburn picking up that injury at Welling. We already obviously just know that Anike is currently injured. So on Tuesday night, we lost Tyrese Campbell and Chin to in-game injuries. And we lost Egbo. He felt his, I think it was his quad or his hamstring, I can't remember, in the warm-up. So he wasn't able to be on the bench. We knew that Fraser was carrying something after the game on Saturday, so he was unavailable. And adding to that, what we didn't know before Tuesday was Asimway and Jones were also in a position where they require some sort of assessment, certainly before Saturday, and for all we know, could or might be injured. Visually, Tyrese Campbell, I should have said, was even in a boot after the challenge that he had. You always hope it's precautionary, but knowing our luck, he'd probably have to have his leg amputated or something. Like, it's happened already. Like, normally you wait until at least the end of August before the crisis kicks in, but it started already, and it's really highlighted that we are short.
Yeah, we are Jack Payne short. That's how short we are. Look, it's the same thing. Every club is going to get the injuries. I don't care about every other club. And you do look to yourself thinking, you know, we've managed to get through pre-season, Miles being the only one, which they did say a few weeks ago was only going to be a couple of weeks. And you do wonder why his rehab is taking as long as it's taking.
I think they were hoping for like end of August, weren't they? So it's still within the time frame, but
yeah. And I understand they don't want, he's not going to be fit because obviously he won't have his match fitness because he's been missing for a month now. And obviously with the kids picking up the knocks, which is going to happen, they're going to be in. The size of some of these kids are under 14, under 15. They're bigger than us, so they're going to be knocked. But now it's, I don't want to use the expression, now it's a proper man's game. Because it's, you know what I mean, it's a proper physical thing. So you're going to get those. And unfortunately, our players like TC are going to get those kind of, you know, it's because they're going to be targeted. And it's how they bounce back from that. it just comes down to how we can cope. And it's, again, for him to say to the players that are coming in, right, step up. You know, if that's how we're going to be, do I have to play you slightly out of position? You know, can you step up and do that? It's unfortunate if we do get to the Saturday and we are down maybe three of those names. And okay, they're going to say they're going to assess them. They could just be sort of like wrapping them up in cotton wool and see how it goes. It's difficult until we see who's actually in the squad for Saturday. It's quite hard to analyse it, why it happens. It just happens, you know. Mm. It's there's nothing we can do apart from it does show where we, like, I agree with Sue. You know, we obviously looked at the striker position. Yes. May, I understand why he didn't start him, and you've got Kanu, and he likes rotating, you know, Corey up there and Kirk up there. It shows, you know, Kirk's finishing. I've seen him score some really good goals for other teams, and you think to yourself, why do the goals change when you're wearing a red shirt or whatever colour we're wearing that day? It's just like thinking, it doesn't change. What is in your head that you can't do it like you did it for other teams? And I don't know, maybe the sports psychologist should get into a few of our heads and say, you know, what is the problem with finishing?
there's loads of problems that the sports psychologist would need to address if they're going to start on our team, obviously, in terms of play. We've spoken about the injury, Sue, which is obviously a concern. But then, as again, it comes back to the question marks about the squad. There's been a few people in the chat sort of talking about the loan market, which is obviously something we'll need to try and utilise. But also that tends to be, as we saw with Jez, later on in the window once the Premier League squads have worked out what they're looking at as well. So how much urgency is there to try and get stuff done a bit quicker? I mean, Dean doesn't want it to be too quick because then you might be jumping on players when you're waiting, when you could wait for others and pick up better ones. But there has to be sort of be a balance there because, you know, as we've mentioned before, there's what, four or five games in August where there's 3 points up for grabs in each one, and you could find yourself dropping behind any teams that get on a good run at the start.
Yeah, and I think as well, you need to think about, obviously, we had other loans that didn't work out. Jez for us was like, I think he's the start that he had, people were questioning it, and they're not always the answer because, again, if they don't gel with the team or they're from a Premier League team and they're just here because they think, oh, right, this is going to get me onto the bigger stage. So ego comes into it and stuff like that. You would hope, I mean, I think Dean's a pretty good judge of character in terms of getting in people that are going to be right as a person as well as the player. But I think, yeah, it's, there's a fine line, isn't there? Because you need a bit of experience. You don't want to be like relying on 19, 20-year-olds that have never played the man's game. They've been playing in 23s or whatever for their Premier League sides. But then you run the risk if you're getting a player, buying a player even from another team, that then you've got an injury and you've got to go down the loan route anyway. So it's just such a tricky balancing act of getting the right bodies in, because you can't guarantee no injuries, can you? We discussed it last season, the whole injury situation. We're like, are we cursed? But actually, I think that when they've talked about it, actually a lot of teams have been in the same situation. It's only apparent to us because it's our team we're watching. So I don't think necessarily that we're any different to any other club in terms of injuries, but it's worrying that we're only two games in and we've already lost quite a few about what would be seen as our starting lineup.
Yeah, and that also, obviously, the fact we've gone out of the cup takes away some of the minutes that players who need fitness could have used. Obviously, we've still got the EFL trophy or whatever it is. I think we're playing Crawley at some point in September, maybe, but obviously that's a little while away. Obviously, I did mention earlier the Jamaican striker. Is it quite clear? I don't know what his name is. That's how unsure I am that there's a great deal in this story. But The only Freeman said, I know it's silly, but the fact he specifically said he doesn't read the Jamaican media made me think he's denying it because it's true. John saying, who doesn't read the Jamaican media? Well, it depends what they're talking about, I guess. Joe Puddyfoot put a great joke about reggae sauce on Twitter on Tuesday, which he was very proud of, which was very good. But yeah, we're not going to give it too much airtime, Joe. So yeah, it'd be very interesting to see if we are shopping in that sort of market, unless we find a bit of a rough gem in the Jamaican Premier League. But we will see as the time wears on. Right, let's hear Dean Holden's thoughts ahead of the game with Peterborough. Again, he spoke to Terry earlier on this afternoon.
We're up next, weather permitting, of course. We had two draws against them last season. They finished in the top six. And like us, they've made a number of changes, outs and ins. Would you expect them still to be battling at the top there and challenging for a top position?
I think so. I think Jack Taylor leaving from midfield is a really top young prospect, a real coup for Ipswich to sign. Having said that, they've brought Archie Collins in, who I believe is a really good player from Exeter. They've obviously kept Ole Johnson Clark Harris. They've got Polku still in there. Mason Clark picked up an injury last week, so we'll see on that. I think Kipriano in midfield is a good player. So they've kept all the Ronnie Edwards. I'm going through quite a few now. They've got, I believe they've got a really good team. And I've said again after the game the other night, Darren's been in and out really over the last couple of years, but it's a team that he knows well, and it's a team that have been together for quite a while. So we know their way of working, we know their style of play, we know where their threats are. I'm looking forward to seeing us go in there and really stamping our off for it on the game.
There is a stat for Peterborough, if you exclude their Championship season. The last four seasons in League One, if you finish above Peterborough, you're either in the playoffs or you're promoted. So they're okay. They're almost a barometer of where clubs need to be in League One over the last few seasons.
I think, like I say, there, particularly in Clark Harris, they've had a striker who scored goals at this level, and they've had some good supply lines as well. They've obviously lost Joe Ward in the summer, and we replaced him with a really good addition in Kyoso. So I think their recruitment over the years, you have to say, has been excellent. Barry Fry leading that with the guys in and around the recruitment department. They always seem to recruit well. They always seem to be one step ahead. They're going to lose one and they'll bring one in from maybe a lower level. And so, yeah, again, an exciting game for us. Can't wait.
We had a habit of last season during your reign with us when you joined of bouncing back from disappointments. It was almost like something we always did, bouncing back from a setback. And we're going to take a good following up to what was London Road in Peterborough. You're expecting the same, I think, this week, and expecting a bounce back as well, I hope.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's been the message. I think as angry and disappointed as we were after the game, as mostly is the case when you lose a game, certainly in that manner when we've been in complete control and in a winning lead, I think it's about refocusing on what's next. Obviously trying to make some changes to where we maybe weren't as good as we needed to be the other night, but at the same time knowing that there's a lot of strengths in the team as well. And my focus is always on what we do next. You know, you spend time reflecting, you spend time going through previous games, of course you do. But it's very quickly, particularly in this division, there's games coming all the time, so it's about refocusing the players' mindset onto what the next challenge is, how we can go and stamp our authority, as I've already said, on the opposition and go and take care of that next game and not get too down and too up about what's gone before, what's coming next. It's all about the next moment, taking care of that. And I think that was obviously the potential what you're talking about there last season. We tended to get out of a defeat quite quickly, so disappointed the other night. We made a lot of changes, and we'll see where we're at in terms of the injuries, but there'll certainly be some players coming back who will be fresh as well. So, yeah.
There we go. That's Dino looking ahead to Saturday's trip up to London Road. Team news, I guess one of the points of discussion already in the chat is who's going to start up alongside May. We had exactly this conversation last week when we landed on Tyrese Campbell on the show, and Dean listened and played him up there. Now, of course, he's got injured, so we have to have the conversation again. So, I mean, Johan's asked the question, will it be Kirk or Kanu on Saturday, Mark? Which way do you see that going?
Neither. I think they'll both be on the bench. I think he'll try and push Corey. I mean, we know Corey's dangerous coming in, and I think if you're only going to play May up like that, you've got to play Corey with him. I think Kirk can get lost in a game. I mean, Peterborough is one of those grounds. It doesn't suit us. It's a what I call a tight ground. You feel there's not a lot of space. So for our wingers and stuff, Is it going to do well? I don't know. I think he's not going to play two up, so he's not going to play Kanu there. Possibly, if we were losing, he might put Kanu on. It's a different kind of game. I mean, everyone was saying about how Alfie May is a pest, and what you want with a pest is someone who's going to feed off him. I don't think Kanu's going to feed off him like that. I think Miles will be more suited when he comes back to play alongside him, and that big one, small one, works well. He may even be tempted to put Payne up next to him, but that does give, because there's no height. But again, Payne, we've talked about him for like a couple of seasons, saying, you know, where's his best position? Again, he can be a right pain. I mean, literally, but a real pest. And if you've got two like that buzzing around your centre halves, and he's got a decent shot on him from distance as well, so I wouldn't put Kirk and Kanu. I'd put Payne behind May and do that. But that's me. What do I know?
Yeah, I mean, there's, like I say, it's a headache certainly at the moment. I mean, Dean even mentioned post-match on Tuesday about how, other than Kanu, we know we don't really have any other fit strikers to go alongside May, so it does pose a bit of a difficult question. I mean, defensively, Sue, we were better on last Saturday than we were the previous Saturday against Aberdeen. That included obviously Hector starting from the bench. Hector came on, played on Tuesday, and we didn't necessarily have the best game defensively as a unit. Not blaming Hector, but obviously he was one of the ones that came in. So do you revert to the back three that we started last week? Obviously, Jones is probably injured by the sounds of it, so we don't know if he's going to be fit enough to play. Also, you'd expect a much tougher task against Peterborough for us defensively than we got from a Leighton Orient side who were also missing strikers themselves.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is right. Maybe we need to go with the back three. If Lloyd's not fit for Saturday, go with the back three and then just have that five in midfield so that you can kind of use the advantage down the sides. But then you've got to have pacey ones, didn't you, down the side. So it's a difficult decision, especially when you're not sure. I mean, I was watching going back to the Newport game again, as like Ness didn't look as confident as he has done when I've seen him before. So whether that is because of who he was playing with, or I mean, heck, like, I love him as a player. I think he's great. I think obviously ending last season injured, and then perhaps not being, because it was quite late on that we re-signed him, maybe he's not 100% fit yet. So I think if you was going to go with the four, then you'd have to put, yeah, Heck in there with, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
It's headaches. Yeah, this sort of sums up the headaches I think Dean will be having at the moment, because, I mean, all hell let loose, has said, who's going to play on the right with Asimwe, Egbo and Chin? All right, all out. Elleraway, I'm not sure if he's back from suspension yet, because he got sent off for Bromley towards the end of last season, but it might be coming up. I'll have to see, but I feel like he might have got two red cards last season, so we'd have to double check that. Shiny Field saying, we'll see Kamara in midfield if we can. Dan would like to see a midfield three of Dobbo, Anderson and Kamara again if Fraser's out, which sounds reasonably likely at this moment in time. Yeah, there's plenty of headaches there for Dean to pick from. If we win Saturday, Mark, doesn't mean we're going up. If we lose, doesn't mean we're not going to get playoffs. But as an indication, how will you see it? Because we don't know exactly where Peterborough are going to be this season, but they tend to be in the upper half of League One, as we heard Terry mention. They've actually got a very good recent record at this level.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not really been a happy hunting ground for us over years anyway.
Six visits without a win now, I think, since the 5-1 in 2011, which was my first trip there.
And no, it's look, it's like we say, you don't get two up, don't get two down. I'm a great follower. We said, you know, let's see where we are after 10. As long as it's not win, lose, draw. You know, the watchword for last season was consistency. We didn't really have any. So we were, yes, we were bouncing back from defeats, but there was no good run. is too early. We can look, we can justify losing on Saturday with the injuries we've picked up and not having the squad we want yet. You know, you don't win, they don't hand out the trophy in the first month, you know, and you don't get relegated in the first month. So it's a hard one to look at. If we have a draw, you say, right, okay, what positives, what negatives can you take from it? It's you don't get, if we lose, we, you know, we lose. It's, you say we've got another 46 games to go or 44 games to go. You don't want to be too far behind. Say if Barnsley have another stonking win and they start pulling away 5-6 points clear at the top, you're going to start looking at them and raising eyebrows. But we're going to be there or thereabouts. And I think Peterborough are always going to be one of those sides. Again, a good barometer. Are we balanced with them? We've talked about him. They've had a good striker for a couple of seasons. How they've kept hold of him, I think he's been priced out. So I think very quickly, we're not going to see any decent loans until the premierships have got themselves sorted, and they won't know what's going to happen before they let their players out. So no one's going to come in for probably a couple of weeks. We'll see how it goes Saturday. It says him a thing. I'm an optimist. I am an optimist. And I think with a midfield, Dobbo back in there, controlling things, Corey, if he stays fit, you know, May's going to score. You know, you put the ball for him, he's going to score. I think he'll get double figures before December. And, you know, I think you've got to look for positives. And there are positives in the team. And that's what you cling to as a fan.
Well, hopefully we'll see some of them on Saturday. Just finally, a good point from Trevor says DJ could play right wing back, has in the past. Probably not good enough, but he might be our only body available. And the fact he wasn't even involved at Newport, to me, suggests Dean probably doesn't see much of a future for him, but he is a warm body in that role if we absolutely need one. So who knows? Right, we've gone over time. So thanks to everyone who's joined us on the Big Match Preview this week. Thank you, Sue and Mark, as always.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure to speak to you. Thanks to everyone who's joined us live on YouTube or listened via the podcast afterwards. Don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. To look back at whatever happens at Peterborough. But until then, I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. This has been Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. We shall see you again on Sunday.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.